I want to talk about letting go and letting God. For at least for the last four decades, we see bumper stickers to say, let go, let God. And it's become so familiar to us that I think that we may be so comfortable with it that we don't really appreciate how powerful the statement that really is, how meaningful it can be to us if we learn to let go. So I want to talk about that today, and I'm going to start with a verse from the book of John, chapter 8, where Jesus is in the temple, and he's talking to the Jews, and he says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the Jews were offended by that. They said, how can that possibly be? We are children of Abraham. And we've never been in bondage. How could we possibly be set free from never being captives? And Jesus advised them that they did not know the truth. The truth being our Heavenly Father. And it brings to mind the reason that he said that. It brings to mind a verse from the song from the Eagles, Hotel California. And the verse is, some of you may remember it, "We are all just prisoners here of our own device." We're trapped by our own actions, our own attitudes, our own attachments, our own fears and beliefs. We have sometimes an addiction to them. And they are, for us, shortcomings. Some people would call them falling short of the mark or sin, not reaching the mark, not hitting the target. So I want to talk a little bit about these shortcomings today. Not all of them, because I've got a laundry list, a personal laundry list, that are as long as my arm, and we'd be here for quite a while. But I want to talk about just three of them today. The first being attachments. We need to learn to let go of our attachments. In the book of Matthew, Jesus says, he's talking to the disciples, and this is the verse where this is the verse where he's talking about a rich man cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. It's that verse in Matthew, and at Matthew 19, and Peter answers and says to Jesus, "Look, we've already given up everything to follow you. Okay, what's next? You know, we've already given up all of our possessions and everything." And Jesus responds and he says, "Look, if you follow me in my name and you give up in my name your relationships with brothers, sisters, family, you give up your property, your lands, your possessions, and you forsake them for my name's sake, you're going to receive those things back 100-fold. And you'll have eternal life. You'll inherit eternal life as a result of that." Now, I don't believe he's saying you cannot get to heaven unless you're poor. I think what he's saying very clearly is you have to release your attachments. It's okay to have wealth and be prosperous, but to be attached to things is the key here. There are people among us today who've spent a considerable amount of time and effort defining the fact that when we have an attachment to something, we actually have an energetic connection, a link to it. Whether it's a thing, whether it's a place, whether it's a person, we create a connection, an energetic connection that binds us. Sometimes it confines us and can even enslave us. An example would be, and I'm sure some of you have experienced this, some of you have experienced it more than once, but moving house. When we move house, we have to move all of our possessions, all of our belongings, all the things that we've collected maybe over 20 years or so, and we've got all these very special things. We've got souvenirs, and we've got furniture, and we've got clothing, and we've got Tupperware, all these things, and we've got them all together and we're moving house. When we're younger, it's not such a bad deal because we don't have as many things, and we're usually moving into a bigger house, so there's room for all this stuff. But as if you're like me, as we get a little bit older, we don't necessarily move into a larger house. We move into a smaller house, and we have to deal with 20 years, this pile of 20 years of really important stuff that we've accumulated that won't fit. And perhaps, if we've moved more than once, we got a 20-year pile and we move and we start a new life and we get busy and we don't have time to go through this stuff. So we start collecting new stuff to replace the stuff that we didn't have, and we get more Tupperware, more furniture, more drapes, and more pictures, and all the things that we need to be comfortable in our lives. And then perhaps we move again, and now we've got two piles of stuff to move. And if we have to take the time, because this stuff is so important, if we have to take the time to go through each and everything and look at it and say, oh yeah, I remember when I got that. That was a great time. And yeah, I can keep that one and this next thing. And oh, this is, well, yeah, that was a good time, but I don't need to keep it. And we spend 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes on each thing. Before you know it, it's taking us months, even years, to get through these piles. When we could be moving forward, growing, learning, doing more, be serving, doing more constructive things. But we have attachments to them, and we need to let go. I have a friend that retired from 25 years at his job. He was very successful. He was well recognized. He had plaques, and he had certificates, and he had all these awards. And when he left work, he didn't know what to do. He'd been so busy working that when he stopped working, he surrounded himself and put all his plaques up in his office and all his certificates up in his office so he could feel comfortable again. He wasn't comfortable letting them go. He wasn't comfortable moving on. And he sat in his office and he just looked at all his great stuff and he just lived back in his 25, 30 year career. We need to learn to let go. It's not just physical things and not just material things. We need to learn to let go of relationships. If a relationship is no longer beneficial for us and that relationship is terminated, we need to let it go. It's not easy to do because, as I said, there's this energetic, an actual energetic link. And when you separate that link, it's painful. It hurts. And we want it to be like it was and the pain to go away and put it back together and everything's going to be all right for me. But we need to learn to let that go, because if we're holding on to that, we can't move forward. And it doesn't matter whether it's a relationship with another person who's with us or someone who's transitioned. We say we have to pray for people for the first 3 days. We need to help them release and let go. Otherwise, if we hang on to them, it keeps them from moving forward, and it certainly keeps us from moving forward as well. It's not just people either. I can remember letting go of my beautiful Dixie Doodlebug and putting her to sleep. It was the first time I had to do it, and it was the most painful experience. I couldn't talk about it for a year. I did it, and it was the right thing to do, but it really hurt. It was incredibly painful. And you see, we have a tendency, or at least I have a tendency, to think about things longingly, and I miss this, and I lament not having my little dog with me, instead of thinking about it like a magnificent vacation. I spend 2 or 3 weeks in a wonderful place on the planet, and I have a fantastic time, and it's so joyful, and I have these great memories. But when it's over, I don't lament and wring my fists and my hands together and go, oh my God, I don't have that vacation anymore. Instead, I look back fondly on the memories that I have of it. And that's what I try to do with my little Dixie Doodlebug. So letting go of the need to hold on to these things is very important. Attachments hold us back. They imprison us. Next, attitudes, emotions. Letting go of negative attitudes and emotions is really important for us. Many of you may remember Ray Kopman, who was a member at Logos here for many years. Ray didn't get around that well towards the end, but in his youth, he was vibrant, energetic. He was a bicycle rider. He rode his bicycle everywhere. He even rode his bicycle across Canada. I mean, that's a long ways. And Ray did it. But in his older years, as he got older and ended up in a living facility for seniors, he wasn't happy because he was confined to a wheelchair. He wasn't happy. He got angry and frustrated. He wasn't happy because he thought people were stealing things from him. They wouldn't make his bed right. They would do things to intentionally upset him, or so he thought. And when I would talk with him about these things, he would eventually come around and he'd smile, and I can hear his voice now. He'd say, "Well, you know, I just go with the flow." And so when I get angry or frustrated, I try to remember Ray. And I try to go with the flow. And it actually helps. It actually makes a difference because I can remember seeing him frustrated. And I don't want to feel that way. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to live that way. We need to let go of negative attitudes about sharing our or holding on to our wealth. We can't clutch at our wealth. We have to be free and open channels to let our wealth flow through us. We talk about tithing here. We manifest the fact that tithing is important to keep any work going. And it's easy for us to tithe a dollar when we get 10. And it's easy for some of us to tithe $10 when we get 100. But maybe not so easy to tithe $1,000 when we get $10,000. And certainly, it's a challenge to tithe $10,000 when we get $100,000. Because what we could do with that money, I mean, we could really use that money. We need to let go. We need to release that feeling of hoarding our special prosperity, the prosperity that has come to us. And that's why we talk about tithing here. We need to let go of not reaching out to other people, not sharing, not caring, having a thoughtful, helpful attitude. Some of you may recognize this. I see a couple of smiles mostly. I see people going, "What the heck is that?" But if you go to the Logos homepage, it says exactly what this is. Ann talked about this last year. It's very simple. It's a plastic bag. It's got a bottle of water in it, some hard candy, a box of sardines, some instant breakfast, some a couple of tissues. And it's a blessing bag, so that when I pull up to an intersection or a red light, a stop sign, and there's somebody standing there that has a sign in front of their chest that says, "I'm hungry," instead of giving them $10 or $20, I just hand them this blessing bag. There's maybe a dollar's worth of stuff in here. A big bottle of water is helpful in the summertime. And you can buy 48 of them at Costco for $2.99. There's no reason not to help others, to reach out, to share, to be of service in that way. Because not doing so binds us. It confines us. It restricts us. It keeps us from having a greater awareness of God's will and certainly of being of greater service to humankind. One of the best ways, I think, to let go of negative attitudes and emotions. Herb has said it time and time again from up here. Become a meditator. Meditate daily. And that way those sounds that you hear in the background won't bother you. Seriously. Daily meditation brings us a greater awareness and a greater attunement with the divine. It's good for us. Casey said meditation is healthy and helpful for us. And not only does it help us, but it helps those who wish, in the non-physical, who wish to work with us. It nourishes them as well, because it helps them advance spiritually as well. Daily meditation is good. Robert Monroe, when he talks about, when he conducts meditations, or conducted them, and you can hear it on his recordings, he says, relax, let go, and then sleep. Not meaning falling asleep, but letting the physical body relax to the point where it's no longer giving you input, and allowing your mind to be open and receptive to that which would be shared with you. Letting go via meditation. And probably the most important attitude or emotion to let go of, the most popular, certainly, is letting go of fear. It's been over a quarter of a century that Love is Letting Go of Fear has been a popular book. It's practically one of the best love books on personal transformation, and it's recognized worldwide, written by Gerald Jampolsky. He says that the only impediments are the limitations that we impose on ourselves with our own minds. We impose our own limitations. We need to be free of those limitations. Those are shortcomings for us. They keep us from having a greater awareness of our opportunities, a greater awareness of God's will, God's love, and our opportunities for service. Emerson said, what a man thinks about all day long, he is. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, it tells us in Proverbs. So, do the things that are fearful. Dale Carnegie says, if you do the things that are fearful over and over again, they lose their meaning. They're powerless over you. But if we succumb, they limit us. I recently got an opportunity to fly my drone and take pictures for Maricopa County. Take pictures of houses of people who were disputing their property valuation. There were 200 houses all over Maricopa County, from as far north as New River to as far down as Gila Bend. It was, and I had to do about 15 a day. It was quite a challenge, going to people's houses who didn't know who you were or why you were there. The homeowners knew because they had to give permission. But the next door neighbors had no idea. And some people would come out and say, what the heck are you doing here? I was really fearful. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know whether my drone was going to crash and hurt somebody. I'd get in trouble and oh my gosh. But every day, as I did it over and over and over again, it became second nature. And it was easy. And it was quick. And I got to be pretty good at it after 2 weeks, doing 10 of them a day. Repetition of the thing, doing the things that we're fearful of, removes the fear, makes it unfearful and meaningless to us so that we can move forward. So, getting rid of attachments, getting rid of negative attitudes and emotions. The last thing I'll leave you with is getting out of our comfort zone. We need to let go of the need to stay safe and secure in our little shells, because we're comfortable here and we don't have to reach out. There are a couple of guys that I see around our neighborhood. They have white shirts on and black ties, and they're carrying a Book of Mormon underneath their arm, and they're going door to door, and they're knocking on the doors and trying to bring the gospel to people. I don't know about you, but I would have such a hard time doing that. I'm way out of my comfort zone trying to do that. Some of you may be able to do that. I'm not one of those people. But these kids do it. And they do it for 2 years. It's just amazing to me. It's an inspiration, really. It's reaching out to others. It reminds me of the story of the Jehovah's Witnesses that come to the door. And the guy opens the door, and it's chucking down rain. And the wind is blowing, and it's cold, and these people are standing there shivering. And he just invites them right on into the kitchen. He sets them down. He gives them a towel to wipe themselves off. He pours them a cup of hot tea, and gives them some cookies. And sits down at the table, folds his hands, and he says, "Well, what is it that you want?" And the witnesses look at each other, and they look back at him, and one of them says, "We don't know. We've never gotten this far before." That's how I think I would feel, you see. Being able to reach out like that is so far beyond my comfort level. But it's important to do so. I drive a bus for a senior community in Fountain Hills. And there's one fellow that all of the other employees talk about. They say he's a strange old bird, and I just don't understand him. And he's got all these weird mannerisms and the weird ways of doing things. And he's always worried about this or that. And I just don't get that guy. Well, I take him to his appointments. I drive him to his appointments in the wheelchair bus. And one day I said, "Well, I'm going to reach out to this guy." So I said, "Hey, what did you do?" Because he'd never talked to me, but he would always respond when I'd say, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great." That was it. Never said anything else. So I reached out and I said, "Tell me what you did for a living." Turns out he was a pilot. I perked up. I'm a pilot. Turns out he has an instrument rating. I have an instrument rating. Turns out he has a multi-engine rating. I don't have a multi-engine rating. Turns out he has a commercial license. He can fly for money. Turns out he was an instructor. He can teach other people how to fly. This guy's wheelchair bound now. Doesn't say much to anybody. Turns out he used to fly charter flights over the Grand Canyon. Flew big, fast, expensive airplanes. Turns out he was a bus driver, a Greyhound bus driver. Fascinating stories this guy has. And I wouldn't have known if I hadn't reached out to him and said, "Hey, I'm interested in you. I care about you. You mean something to me. Tell me about yourself." Some of us on Sundays, because we don't meet every Sunday, we go to services in other places. I recently attended a service in another place. It was interesting. In Fountain Hills, just down the street from our house. And I was in shock. Someone came up to me and said, "I haven't seen you here before. What's your name?" And they introduced themselves, and they said, "Do you mind if I sit with you?" And I thought, "Well, sure. I don't know anybody here. That'd be great." And they sat with me. And then when they said, "Is there anybody here for the first time?" I raised my hand. And the person up front said to the person next to me, they said, stand up and tell us who your friend is. And the person stood up and said, this is Bill Roberts. He's here for the first time. He lives here in Fountain Hills. He just wants to see what we're all about. And everybody turned around and said, well, welcome. We're glad you're here. Thanks for coming. And this person stayed with me after the service and walked around with me and made me feel comfortable. I didn't feel like I was alone. I don't like being in crowds of people that I don't know. I'm not comfortable with it. It's beyond my comfort zone. So it was nice to have somebody close by. And it was clear to me that this person was not in their comfort zone. They were struggling to make conversation, and they were trying to make me feel comfortable, and they did. They went beyond their comfort zone so that I would be comfortable, that I wouldn't feel out of place. It was magnificent. I loved it. I want to be like that. On the back of our bulletin today are the Logos tenets. This is what we profess. This is what we want to adhere to. This is what we want to be. This is who we want to be. I invite you to take this and take it home with you and scotch tape it to your mirror or next to your desk. Put it on the wall someplace. Put it on the refrigerator and take a look at it once in a while and ask yourself, I come to Logos. Am I doing this? Am I being this way? Is this me? Because we all want to let go of the things that keep us from being closer to our Creator. And I'll leave you with this. As St. Francis of Assisi once said, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. God bless you.